Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday, October 21st, 2022. Eric the Tech, it's Friday. Now you can't find it. He said, I can't find my mic.
It is Friday.
You got a good weekend plan?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I have to say this. Eric the Tech has got a wonderful, just a gorgeous wife and a beautiful family. Of course, his wife is my daughter and my grandkids. Just a wonderful family. Anyway, thank you folks for joining me today. This is kind of a week roundup. And, I have a policy. Unless it's like the bombing of a Pearl Harbor type thing or a 9/11 type thing, I like to give some soak time to stories. And I mention that only because this is not necessarily a headline-driven broadcast. We dig deep into issues like the Great Reset. This is more of an investigative report as opposed to a news report. I just want to clear that up because I just want to clear that up. Anyway, I have got a lot of stuff to get into today. Let me get to my schedule here. I didn't print it out, which I usually print this out, but I didn't today. Why? Because it's Friday. That's why. All right. I'm going to start off with something a little bit inspirational. Look, I know there's a lot of things to talk about, but I want to give this man his due. How many of you have seen this? This was yesterday, the day before, I don't know, a couple of days now. There was a black man who appeared before the Wake County School Board and expressing his displeasure. He was expressing his displeasure about the content, about the priorities of the school board, the activities of the teachers. And if everyone took this man's words and went to their own school boards and acted like this man and spoke like this man, we can win back the curriculum being taught to our children. We can win back the schools. Now, I would argue, of course, the best way to do things would be to homeschool, the second best private school. In a lot of this too, you're not going to have a choice because of yesterday's CDC decision.
And not all private schools.
Very good. Not all private schools.
Got to do your homework.
And you correct me if I'm wrong. Now, I don't mean to put you on a spot here. But you did some homework on your oldest, right? I mean, about private schools and
yes.
And would you, in a nutshell, would you find out? They're all different. I mean, they're different, but I mean, would you find out?
Well, the one that we ended up with, I went right in.
Yep.
Opened the can of worms about shutdowns and COVID, yep. And the teachers were like, "We don't do that here," and. Come to find out, they listen to you and Mr. Jones. So I'm super lucky and grateful for those two women in that school system.
And you know what? I want to say hello to I want to say hello to those listening to Alex Jones, InfoWars, and this platform at that school, which shall remain nameless for obvious reasons. But thank you. Ladies, thank you. Thank you for being great teachers. Thank you for being great administrators. And thank you. See, there is hope out there. And to spread that hope, go ahead.
Just to add to that, when COVID started,
yeah,
they shut down for a week. because they had no clue what was going on, and they opened up right away after a week, said we're not doing it.
You know, I'm okay with that. I mean, any prudent person, reasonable and sensible person, or administrator, or hey, they're responsible for shut down for a week, assess the situation, determine what's right, and then act from there. And that's what they did. Fantastic. They're out there, folks. If you can find them, they're out there. You have to look. Do your homework. Eric the Tech, fantastic words. Thank you, sir, for chiming in on that.
And I'm also very lucky because my mother's a reading specialist, so she's one of the top teachers in the state.
She is. I've learned, and this is true, I have learned a lot from his mother. I'll just leave it there because I'll just, well, you know what? I mean,
didn't she do quite a bit of work on your book?
I was, the reason I didn't want to say that was for...
She doesn't care.
Okay. All right. If she doesn't care, then that's fine. She went through my book and edited my book.
The second one.
The second book. Yes. Thank you very much. The first one is going to be re-edited and re-released. Yes. Yes. But the second book. And I learned a lot from her. And man, I'll tell you what, English is so important to understand. Man, I'll tell you. Proper English, that is. All right. But let me warm the cackles of your heart with this video. This is video number 2, Wake County School Board Speaker. As this appears at HagmanReport.com in the program description box, nowhere else. This is where you can find the entire clip. Pass this around. Post it on social media as this program. Watch this and be prepared to be impressed. The runtime on this, I don't have it. I think it's 2 minutes and 20 seconds or 3 minutes. All right. This is 3 minutes. It's worth every second. Worth every second. In fact, I might even, I'm thinking about this. I might, if this man is willing, I might even ask him to come on as a guest. But this, I think this video, because of the attention that it has been receiving, and it's on the rise, the left is actually going after this man. It's an incredible story. But watch this video. Listen every second. Every second is important. Here it is.
The last name is Amanchukwu.
Thank you very much for correcting me, Mr. Amanchukwu.
Yes, no problem. It means I know God. Luke chapter 17:2 says that it's better for a person to have a millstone tied around their neck and to be thrown into the sea than for anyone to harm or damage a child. And so the question today to the school board is, only you know whether or not your role, the policies, the curriculum and the things that you allow in this school system in Wake County, only you know whether or not a millstone is tied around your neck. The reality is this: God is going to judge every last one of you for decisions that are made on behalf of children. You know, this past year we spent $1 million on a diversity office. And how did that benefit black children? How did it benefit children in general? Well, 78% of third through eighth grade black students are not proficient in math in Wake County. We're wasting taxpayer dollars putting money towards this diversity office that's not benefiting those who need it the most. 66% of third through eighth grade students are not proficient in reading. Black students, they're not reading on grade level. They're not performing mathematically, and they're not going to be able to get jobs in the fields like STEM. But we're wasting money on a diversity, equity, and inclusion office while we are failing black students in the name of diversity. You know, in the Jim Crow era, black students were locked out of the public school system. But today they are trapped in. And many of these students need options. They need school choice. They need the opportunity to take their taxpayer dollars and take it to school systems that will benefit them and support them and educate them. And as we talk about inclusion and making sure that the trans student feels comfortable and the queer student feels comfortable, what does that have to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic? As we are as we are teaching cultural Marxism and grooming children to be the next pervert, we are damaging our kids in this public school system, and it needs to stop.
And there it is. I can't pronounce his last name, but it's on the video if you click the link in HagmanReport.com in the program description box. It'll take you right to the video. His name is there. But inspirational. Every one of us can do that. If you're a grandparent, if you're a parent, you should be doing that. We're doing that. I know Eric the Tech, of course, as necessary, is doing that. And we need to put our foot down and say no more. But I want to take you back in time, because this is going to set the rest of the stage for what happened this week. A big thing happened this week, and that involves our children, of course, and this injecticide. They are wanting us dead. They want to kill our children, and this is happening. But let me take you back in time a little bit. This is video 6 in the program description box. These people should be ashamed of themselves. Watch this compilation. Here it is.
Stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this.
Essentially, vaccines block you from getting and giving the virus.
Fully vaccinated people are at a very, very low risk of getting COVID-19. Therefore, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
We have all the vaccines we need. We just need our people to take it. A, for their own protection, for the protection of their family, but also to break the chain of transmission. You want to be a dead end to the virus. So when the virus gets to you, you stop it. You don't allow it to use you as the stepping stone to the next person. I think given the country as a whole, the fact that we have now about 50% of adults fully vaccinated and about 62% of adults having received at least one dose, as a nation, I feel fairly certain you're not going to see the kind of surges we've seen in the past.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
So the question is, are these people ignorant of the facts, or are they deliberately saying this because they're being paid or because they're complicit in this depopulation plan? That's the question I have. When I sit back and I muse, I sit back with my dog in my office, and it's early in the morning. It's usually before Steve calls, like at, 5 in the morning. And we talk. By the way, I loved the program yesterday with Steve Quayle. But anyway, I wonder who among them have been paid off. Now, I know some, based on information I have, and I cannot authenticate it to state assertively, but I believe that many, or that some, not many, but some of the alternative broadcasters who never mention this have been paid, especially the larger platforms. But I want you to take a look at this next, this chart here, okay? Before I go there. So we've been told that you get the shot, it stops the spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which was created in a lab in Wuhan, China. It was created there under the direction, in my opinion, based on my reasoned research, it was created by Fauci, or under the umbrella of the NIH, NIAID, and the CCP. Fauci, Collins, Walensky with the CDC, and others conspired to create this by way of manipulating the gain of function. Okay, so this happens. Now, how it got out of that lab, I don't know. Whether it was deliberate, I don't know. The method of escape, to me, is less important than the fact that it got out. All right. Although it's important, it's just not the top. So it got out. Now, of course, if you're well-read, you know that the scientists and others working on this had these so-called vaccines lying in wait. They existed. The mRNA, Moderna, one employee never, ever had a product at all. All of a sudden becomes this multi-gazillion dollar company with contracts and such. Okay. You get the idea. Working in conjunction with the CDC and FDA. We're at the beginning to that. Okay. So they roll out the solution, supposedly, to the problem. And it becomes very deadly. There's no other way to put it, deadly. And people will say, they will argue about correlation and causation. Well, you can only argue that for so long. Look at this graph, or look at this image. This is image one in the program description box. The title is this. This is from a tweet. 80 Canadian doctors have now died suddenly. And they go through and they show the pictures and they show the names and such. Let's just say that this is 100% accurate. What does that say about the intent here of the injecticide? What does that say about what this is doing to the people, to the best and the brightest among us? All right. You can take a look further at that image and then follow the tweet itself and follow all of this. But there's not a day that goes by that you won't find someone, a young person, dropping dead after being injected, playing sports, all of these people dropping dead with heart problems. Okay, having said that, there was a vote yesterday that was taken yesterday of the by the CDC to include this injection as part of your child's vaccination schedule. Now, people will say, hey, you're anti-vax. No, I'm not anti-vax. I'm anti this thing that's not a vax. I am anti the non-scientific approach to this. And I am anti-lie. Look at this paper here. This is from the Epoch Times, Wednesday, October 12th. Here it is right here. And take a look at this. The CDC won't release review of post-vaccination heart inflammation. And as you go through this small article. They've done massive numbers of articles on this. But the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will not release its review of post-COVID-19 vax heart inflammation. They're not going to do it. The CDC has been performing abstractions on reports of post-vaccination myocarditis and so on. But the agency states that federal law prevents it from releasing the results. Now, that's not true. This is not true right here. What they're referring to is the HIPAA aspect of this, releasing personal information about a patient. That's what this is all about. So understand that these people are not working on your behalf. So this week we saw that Tucker Carlson, oh, but by the way, we're beginning this too. This is from openthebooks.substack.com, the historic release, Dr. Anthony Fauci's official work calendar, November 2019 to March of 2020. I'm going to tell you something. You go through this, and it's an absolutely incredible read. What a wonderful job this individual did on going through. Adam Andrzejewski is the author's name. But that said, Wednesday, I believe it was, Tucker Carlson, understanding the CDC's position about coming out and voting on whether to include the injection as part of your child's immunization in order to go to school. The booklet that we used to get as children, and your polio vaccine and this and that. Okay, now this is going to be required. But this is Tucker Carlson talking about this the night before. I believe this was Wednesday. I'm getting my days confused. This will be video number 4. It's a 3-minute take, but again, an important 3 minutes. Watch this.
So here's an amazing story that's been effectively buried. This week, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is expected to add the COVID-19 vax to the list of required childhood vaccines. If this happens, your children will not be able to attend school without taking the COVID shot. Now, the problem is there's no medical basis for this decision whatsoever. Even the CEO of Moderna has just admitted that most people do not need the booster. In fact, in this country, it's like 4% of adults have gotten the booster because they know now. We're quoting, "It's going to be similar to the flu," he said. So what is this exactly? Dr. Marty McCarry is a man we trust. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins University. He joins us tonight to assess. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. Is it an overstatement to say there's really no medical justification for this?
Well, there's certainly no clinical data. They've got data from 8 mice on the Omicron vaccine in young people. And the child vaccine story is essentially a story of bypassing clinical data, which is why many of us are asking, why even have an FDA? Why do we even do clinical trials? Right now, we've got pharma saying, hey, we did a study. We're going to give you the top line of the press release. We're going to call the White House. And the White House then calls the FDA and the CDC and tells them to get in line. They bought 170 million doses of this new Omicron vaccine. There has never been a vaccine added to the child immunization schedule without solid clinical evidence that it reduces disease significantly in the community. The COVID vaccine in children will be the first. It will be added with no clinical data. And many of us that are saying, hey, let's see the data, we're basically told, stop asking questions. Dr. Jha, who's the chief COVID advisor at the White House, has said he has seen the data, but it's not public information. What are they hiding? Why can't we see this information? Instead, we're basically seeing this intense paternalism to really just do what we say and stop asking questions. And the CDC's committee that's voting, I mean, that is essentially a kangaroo court. You have to be an official card-carrying vaccine fanatic to be on that committee. If you're not, then basically they're not going to accept people who think that some vaccines are important and others lack the evidence to support broad distribution. Remember, 1 in 5,000 vaccine doses results in a severe adverse event, according to data from overseas, from Germany, because we don't fund that research in the U.S. And in Israel, they took 283 people who got myocarditis from the vaccine. One of them died, two were in the ICU. So if thousands of people are going to get myocarditis from this indiscriminate vaccination in young, healthy people, we're going to see some unintended harm. And my concern is that some schools may blindly accept this. So if the CDC decides to go ahead and put this on the routine vaccine schedule, it'll be up to states. And that's where I think parents have a right to say, let's see some clinical data before we force this as a requirement for school.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is like, you're so understated in your effect, but what you're saying is shocking, I think, to the layman anyway. So I appreciate your saying it. I'm sure you're taking a lot of heat for it, but we're grateful. Dr. Barney McCary of Johns Hopkins, thanks.
All right. That was Tucker Carlson from, I believe, like I said, Wednesday night prior to the vote. And I think it's important for all of us to understand what danger this presents to our children. But if you as a parent or you as a grandparent have concerns, but specifically parents of children who are just becoming of age to go into schools, make sure you inquire. Make sure that because now, okay, there are schools as well who are not required, I'll just put it that way, of alerting you to what they give your child in terms of medical care. And that also goes to the transgendered issue, but I digress on that. Now this, before I get to the CDC vote, which to me is just so horrendous. And again, think of that inspirational video. I played it initially. But before I get to that, I want to show you this video. Imagine going to a recital. Just imagine going to a recital and being the parents of a child. This happened in Franklin Park, Illinois. 17-year-old high school student at a recital. Gifted teenage singer. Doing a choir solo. Imagine being the parent, the proud parent. Having this happen. Watch the video. This will be an addendum to, you can find this at HagmanReport.com in the program description box as an addendum video. But here this is, for the full report, here it is.
I will trust in you, let no say
watching this, talented Illinois teenager was rehearsing a solo, school choir dropped dead. Daniel Montmoshi, 17, was performing at Naperville North High School on Friday evening when he became unconscious, transferred to Edwards Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. Now, I'll just say this. Having worked in EMS a number of years ago, I remember quite a bit, but I don't remember any young person dying without cause or suddenly dropping dead. And this is back in the mid to late 70s, early 80s. Okay. When I worked the streets, a couple of different cities, I remember every single child that I pulled out of a bathtub with a babysitter that was on the phone. I remember every single young accident victim. But I don't remember ever seeing a child just, a young person just dying without apparent cause. So what's changed? What's changed over the last several weeks? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. But you know what? We're picking up new viewers and listeners every single day. And what I'd like you to do, and I ask humbly of you, is to share this video, share this program with everyone you know. It's not for me. I don't care. You know, I'd rather be out walking my dog in a pasture of flowers somewhere or whatever, you know, or sitting on the front porch with my dog than talking about this. But this needs to be spoken. This needs to be talked about. Oh, and by the way, those who do talk about this, the threats are increasing. I'm going to tell you when I debated whether I was going to even tell you this. This is kind of a left turn on this, but folks, you know, Wisconsin Christian News, wisconsinchristiannews.com. It seems that now I'm a columnist for Wisconsin Christian News. It seems that they were in danger of losing their printer because of the content. Now, not too many places can print a paper, an actual physical paper like Wisconsin Christian News. They ultimately got that worked out, but not by making any concessions. No. But the fact of the matter is, folks, we need to support them, Wisconsin Christian News, not by subscribing, although definitely subscribe, but to support them through donations. Because what I know, because of the content that's in that newspaper, they are being attacked every single day and in ways that you can't even imagine. And I'm not going to give anyone any ideas, but the fact of the matter is we are all under attack, and pretty soon we won't be on air, and you won't be free to post things that you know on your social media. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I let people know about Wisconsin Christian News. Please, please give them a donation. Go to wisconsinchristiannews.com and donate to keep them printing. I appreciate that. All right. Let's go to video 5. I wanted to play this after Tucker Carlson. But this is yesterday's vote from the CDC. The vote was, despite public outcry and a number of experts warning of the risks outweighing the benefits, and the pleas for more long-term investigation, the CDC unanimously voted to approve the mRNA doses and add them to the annual childhood vaccination schedule. Here is the vote. Take note of every name, every person, and never forget. Here it is.
Start with our, do we? Everybody in? Thank you very much. We'll proceed with the vote. So as a reminder, please state your name, whether you have any conflicts of interest, and your vote. And I'm going to start right now with Dr. Bell.
Bell, no conflicts, yes.
Thank you. Ms. McNally.
McNally, no conflicts, yes.
Thank you. Dr. Lehr.
Lehr, no conflicts, yes.
Ms. Botta.
Bhatta, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Brooks?
Brooks, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Daly?
Daly, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Sanchez?
Sanchez, no conflict, yes.
Dr. Shaw?
Shaw, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Long?
Long, no conflict, yes.
Dr. Cotton?
Cotton, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Sineas?
Sineas, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Paling?
Paling, no conflict, yes.
Lee, no conflicts, yes. Dr. Talbot?
Talbot, no conflicts, yes.
Dr. Chen?
Chen, no conflicts, yes.
Thank you. Dr. Wharton?
And the motion passed 15 unanimously in favor.
Thank you, everyone. We can now put our cameras off, and we will proceed with the next session.
Well, there you have it, folks. I want to know who the mope is in the mask. Can we highlight that? I don't know. Can we go back to that? Sybil? Sineas? Okay, whatever. But I'm sorry. Look, she could be in a public setting and just thinking about, you know, about you, about your health, right? No, but I want, seriously, what I want, when it, remember what that man at the beginning of the show said, better a millstone tied around their necks. I want you to take a look at this. I pulled this off. This is from the Epic Times. I pulled this off. Oh, when was this? This was earlier this week. Scientists and doctors, parents speak out about the harms of COVID-19 vaccines. Holding signs such as enough is enough, freedom is essential, and so on. You get the idea. And this article does state that just one day after she got the COVID-19 booster shot, Reagan Lewis, a 20-year-old nursing student at Colby Community College in Kansas, had a heart attack. Her mom desperately asked for prayers for her daughter in the public post on Facebook right here. You can see it right here. And she writes this, I can't say for sure that there was a link, but our beautiful 20-year-old healthy daughter had a COVID-19 injection yesterday so she could participate in her clinicals. Okay, again, where is the freedom? Remember, these people are going to come out and say, you had a choice, but you decided to get it anyway. Oh, and by the way, that CDC thing that you saw, the vote that you saw, the immunity now is full immunity. In other words, there's no suing the manufacturers of the clot shots, except if we have a justice system that accepts the fact that fraud vitiates any public or private contract. But anyway, carrying on with this article here, she writes, I can't say for sure that there was a link, but her beautiful 20-year-old healthy daughter got an injection yesterday so she could participate in her clinicals. Today, she went to cardiac arrest and has been flown to a hospital. She's on a ventilator fighting for her life. Please pray for her. That night, she passed away. And just take a look at this sub-headline here. Not an isolated incident, but also this number right here is important. I didn't mark this up beforehand. I wanted to see this without any markings. As of October 7th, 31,470 deaths. Look at that number. As of October 7th, have been reported to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the FDA via their Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Which, and this is an important descriptive phrase, which VAERS is a passive post-market surveillance system designed to help government officials and researchers pick up safety signals about vaccines. So rather than go through all of this, again, the link will be in the program description box, but this also states another subheading here, sudden deaths continue. And the more people I talk about on an individually, because I do make phone calls, I do have a friend who is actually a good friend who is essentially related to a director of a funeral home. Well, I wouldn't say a funeral home, a series of funeral homes or a consortium here in this area who have said, look, deaths are up in children, in young adults, and by young adults, 18 to 35. And, well, across the board. But look at this. It appears that there has been a rise in excess deaths in industrialized countries around the world. For example, the Australian government has released a provisional mortality statistics that show a dramatic rise in excess deaths. In June, in Australia, a country of only 26 million people, making it smaller than the population of the state of Texas, there were 2,410 deaths above the historic average. Now, you might look at that number and say, well, you know what? I mean, stuff happens, right? Well, yeah. The top three causes of excess death in Australia were attributed to cancer, dementia, and non-COVID respiratory diseases, including influenza and pneumonia. Now, you can take that any way you want to, but I dare say you dig into this and you will find that the instances of cancer, of especially cancer, and of diseases that were static prior to the injection have risen dramatically. And they go on to say that in the United States, insurance companies, including Lincoln Financial Group, have reported dramatic increases in the payouts of non-COVID-related deaths in the first quarter of 2022. And this uptick began to be seen clearly the year before, as one would expect, causation, correlation, as one would expect in that discussion. And this, again, you can read this in its entirety, but I want to point out that these sudden deaths continue. This is not normal. And what I believe we're going to find, and I'm just going through here. Okay, one more thing. What I believe we're going to find is the fact that they knew, the manufacturers, the CDC, and the FDA, you know, big surprise, they all knew of these so-called side effects, which are not side effects at all. It's a feature, it's a benefit, not a flaw. But this not safe or effective when you have limited, if any, prior testing, you've got a problem. And we don't have that. We have been the testing that has been done, we've been denied the information. So just take that to heart. Understand that what's done is done in your family. But I'll tell you this. If you go out today and for a booster, you know, a booster number 7 or whatever, then I believe that you've got some mental issues or a death wish. All right. What they're doing to our children, this CDC, what they're doing to our children is absolutely unforgivable and unforgettable. You remember their names because we have, and look, I don't know what this is going to look like, but we have some payback. And by payback, I mean justice to be served on these individuals. And if you think, I was talking to a person that I know, he said, well, I trust Dr. Fauci. So I gave this person RFK Jr.'s book. I said, please do me a favor. Read this book, The Real Dr. Fauci, The Real Anthony Fauci. And electronic form. And I said, get back to me. And she said, well, you know, okay, that's just one person's opinion. I said, it's full of footnotes. It's documented. It's, you know, well, I still trust the science. And I said, what science? Well, Fauci's science. I mean, the science that Fauci, you get the idea. Okay, it's the cyclical thinking. So recently, and this was, I printed this yesterday, specifically for today. There's a historic release of Dr. Anthony Fauci's official work calendar from November of 2019 through March of 2020. This hour-by-hour timeline of who Dr. Fauci was talking to and what he was doing and where his meetings were in the months before and after the public disclosure of the pandemic. That's an interesting statement. The public disclosure of the pandemic. Okay, let's see what this says. This is a great work by Adam Andrzejewski. Again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. On Tuesday, January 14th, 2020, at 9 o'clock in the morning, Fauci joined staff at the National Security Council, the president's national security and foreign policy advisory shop, for a meeting in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, specifically about the virus, by the way. Fauci would continue to have meetings in classified settings all throughout the month of January of 2020. His calendar entries included, look, NSC meetings, White House Situation Room meetings, and meetings in other classified settings as this virus was breaking out in China. Now, remember what Peter Navarro had talked about and even written about in his book. Peter Navarro is no fan of Fauci. He and Fauci, of course, went at it when they were together on at least one occasion. Now, according to this author, and I believe that he's done his research, on Friday, January 24th, just 4 days after China admitted human-to-human transmission, this is important, of the virus, Fauci stated that attending small group, I'm sorry, Fauci started attending a small group COVID discussion that first took place in, quote, Anthony's office, in a building next to the White House. Anthony, in this case, appears to be an NSC employee and an expert in biodefense in China. This is an important paragraph right here. Again, you can find this at HagmanReport.com. Click on the link, download it yourself, and make sure you have, if you do decide to print it, print out the calendar. The calendar is 115 pages. So make sure you have ink and paper. But again, just 4 days after China admitted the human-to-human transmission, he started attending this group in Anthony's office. Okay, Anthony, of course, is not Anthony Fauci, but another Anthony, who happens to be or appears to be an NSC, National Security Council employee, and an expert in biodefense in China. This is interesting because what does this tell you? This tells you knowledge about this being a bioweapon. If you get nothing else out of this broadcast, the fact that this coronavirus is a bioweapon, and they knew it, Fauci knew it, and it was a bioweapon. It was a bioweapon created with the knowledge of Fauci, Collins, NIH, NIAID, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And, of course, Xi Zhengli, the bat lady, and everyone else in between. The article does state that going back to December of the previous year, 2019, when patients in Wuhan were showing up at hospitals with unidentified pneumonia cases, Fauci attended the NIH Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation dinner and workshops on December 19th and 20th. The 6th annual event for NIH staff and Gates Foundation executives. Now, ask yourself a question. What in the hell are Bill and Melinda Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, what are they doing hobnobbing it with the NIH staff and NIH themselves? Just asking. On the morning of the 19th of December of 2019, Gates tweeted out his own hopes for the coming year. Oh, and look at this prescient prediction. You ready for this, radio listeners? One of the best buys in global health, vaccines. You know, in the court, in a just courtroom setting, I would look at that as evidence. I don't know about you. Today, we only know about these meetings because the organization that wrote this open the books, okay? Openthebooks.com, in partnership with Judicial Watch, they had to sue NIH in federal court, and NIH refused to even acknowledge their Freedom of Information Act request. I remember arguing with someone. Yeah, I wanted a FOIA request done, but I also knew that that would land on deaf ears. I'm not going to go any further on that. But they had to sue the NIH. And by the way, there's a link in this. You can download Fauci's calendar. But the refusal by NIH to follow the open records law was a strategy to delay transparency. NIH forced this organization, including Judicial Watch as well, into expensive taxpayer-paid litigation to slow walk 156 pages, folks, of semi-redacted calendar production. In short, in sum and substance, Fauci's calendar had 933 events during this five-month period, including 224 media interviews. My gosh, the worst place, the most dangerous place between Fauci, I mean, don't get between Fauci and a TV camera. Oh boy, feel like you're getting hit by a bus. And 84 redacted events, only significant redactions that prevented analysis and understanding were counted, for example. Phone numbers and such were not included. So 933 events during a five-month period that Fauci attended. Okay, so just very quickly, the highlights in this article, just go ahead and follow along, not here in the in this particular broadcast, but when you click on this link, follow Fauci's timeline, follow the highlights here. From November 6th of 2019, through March of 2020. But this is an indictment against Fauci in knowledge, intent, and of course, monetary gain. I'm going to just put this aside and allow you to read this on your own. Obviously, folks, we have a lot of stuff going on. We can never stop asking questions about what happened, who is behind the release of the bioweapon, the creation we know. I think we've got a good handle on it. The release of the bioweapon, but more importantly, the architects of the response to the pandemic. That's why Alex Jones, The Great Reset, his book is an important read. Glenn Beck wrote a book about the Great Reset. The fact that this is all about the Great Reset must be understood. And I'm going to leave you with this. In addition to everything else, we have to keep paying attention to the southern border. A good friend of the program, Laura Logan, was with Eric Bowling. And talking about her fines, F-I-N-D-S, her fines, her findings with a, I don't want to say a spy, but someone who was able to get into a UN meeting and get some information that I think is relative to all of this. Let's go to video two, as much of it as we can before the end of the program. This is Laura Logan with, or not video two, I'm sorry, video three. Laura Logan, these are the steps to a one world government. Watch this.
Come all. In America, Biden's America, it's truly shocking, isn't it, folks? All right, let's bring a good friend of the show, good friend of ours, an investigative journalist extraordinaire, and more importantly, a good friend of mine as well, Laura Logan. Welcome, Laura. Laura, I mean, it's amazing what's going on right here in this city, New York City. These invaders, these illegals, when Mayor Adams takes them in, they're building tent cities. There's Xbox. There's entertainment for them. There's three square meals. If you're in Venezuela where inflation is going through the roof and you can barely feed your family, why not come here? It's a much better lifestyle for them.
Well, not only is it a better lifestyle for them, Eric, but basically you're creating a two-tier system where people who come here illegally and break the law are absolved of any responsibility for that. And then they're subject to a different set of rules to every other American. And it's really interesting because, you know, we live in a moment where you can see all over the place that this administration is desperate to incite some kind of event, right? Incite people to act that will prove the lie of white terrorism and white supremacy in America today and give them an excuse to crack down, right? They need a Reichstag fire. And when you see the way that they're flaunting, the separate set of rules for illegal immigrants, you have to wonder and at least ask the question if part of the motivation, or maybe just one of the benefits, is that they know that they're rubbing the face of the average American in it, especially at a moment in this country where people's mortgages are going through the roof, where food prices are going through the roof, where people are very soon going to start losing their homes, losing their jobs, and so on. And, you know, when you look at that in terms of the bigger picture here, anyone who's trying to unite this country, anyone who's trying to strengthen the economy and save the economy, they're not doing what the Biden administration is doing. And all of this nonsense about, oh, how you need illegal immigrants to come and do the jobs Americans are too lazy to do. You know what? I live in a town of illegal immigrants and nobody wants to do that work. Okay, nobody, not even the people who are illegal a lot of the time. And so, you know, all people are the same, really. That's what I'm trying to say. All people are the same. And when your own people are in the most dire economic circumstances that they've been in living memory, for you to be creating a second tier system that, by the way, doesn't help the people who are illegal very much either. I mean, you may get a place rent-free in New York City, but if you don't get a job and you can't feed your kids and you're far away from home, and, you know, there's no future and so on and so on, these people's lives, while they may be easier in some respects than Americans, they're not great for them either, especially when you consider that they were brought here by capitalists, right?
It's the first step. It's the first step of divide and conquer. It's the first step of getting citizenship and voting rights to these illegals. You piss off, you tick off the people who are picking up the tab for this in New York City, the place where Mayor Adams is giving these people, you know, Xbox and meals and entertainment and beds. And in New York City, you pay an 8.5% tax in New York State, another 4.5% just to live and work in New York City. You're paying 50% of your income to the government one way, shape, or form, and you're ticked off. Meanwhile, these people are coming in and freeloading. So you divide the population and then you conquer them. Then you get them to agree, you get your side to agree to give these people voting rights. And then you never, ever see a conservative holding public office again.
And you're 100% right, Eric. But you know what? It's even bigger than that. Because I spoke to a man who was actually holding the documents in his hand. He told me about it, right? He said he was he infiltrated the global cabal at the UN level, right? And one of the things that he was able to tell me about from his own personal experience, what he witnessed himself, was these documents that show that the plan, there is a plan.
Okay,
and
cut it right there.
Several years.
That's a great cliffhanger. Go to HagmanReport.com and listen to what she said, that she saw the papers, his papers, about what's coming. You know what's coming. The Great Reset, replacement, migration, the entire shot. That's all part of everything we talked about today. The Great Reset. You know what? We need to put a stop to it. We need to start with protecting our children, as you saw initially, and however it ends up, it ends up. Folks, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. May God bless each and every one of you. Eric the Tech, thank you for a great week. Thank you for adjusting to my schedule. Folks, thank you for tuning in and share this with everyone you know. May God bless you. Hit your knees tonight, pray, and prepare. Good night.